Hello, dear friends. My name is Amol, and this is Lex Prudence Podcast. What do we do on these podcasts? Well, we try to simplify law and understand various legal issues from my perspective. And then, of course, engage in discussions to mutually learn new ways of interpreting or applying the law. If you have not heard my previous episodes, which of course is not your fault because I did those episodes more than 2 years ago, then please search Lex Prudence, LexPrudence, Lex Prudence on Spotify or Google Podcast or now even YouTube and give it a try. I'm sure you will find new topics and subjects that we can discuss. Okay, so small recap to the first episode of this series. We discussed what is online gaming, what are the various types of online games prevailing in India, and a little bit about the laws that prohibit betting and gambling in India. In this episode, we will dig deeper into the legal issues around the online gaming industry, starting from legality. And then as the episodes move, we will move one by one to the other relevant issues. And yes, one disclaimer, because we are trying to simplify the legal position around the subject, I will not be quoting judgments, jargons, and or provisions from the law. But we'll try and bring out the gist of all these in simpler words to make it understandable for everyone. So let's get straight into it. Legal and regulatory regime in India for online game, in my personal opinion, can be segregated in three broad categories. Now, what are these three broad categories? A is prohibition, B is regulation, and C is somewhere in between and ambiguous. So let's just call it ambiguous. So these three categories kind of define the broad spectrum of legality subject on the online gaming industry. And we'll get into each one of these now, starting with prohibition. So the act or the central act that deals with gambling or the subject of gambling in India is Public Gambling Act 1867. Now, let me put another disclaimer here. In India, till a couple of years back, there was no specific act which deals with gaming per se. All that we have or had is acts which dealt with gambling in India. So we don't have anything specific around the subject of gaming. And therefore, I'm dealing with the acts which are Public Gambling Act or the respective state gambling acts. Yes, there are a couple of states which have come up with gaming acts, but they also in some way or the other deal with the subject of gambling more than gaming. So, as I was saying, the first central act that deals with the subject of gambling in India is Public Gambling Act 1867, and then various related state acts have been put in place by different states which deal with the subject of gambling either in the form of prohibition or in the form of regulation or licensing. Now, however, central as well as most of the states act create a carve out, and I'll deal with this carve out in detail in the next few minutes. So what is that carve out? It's a carve out created for games involving mere skill. The phrase used is mere skill. And how does that carve out operate? The act simply says that anything in the Gambling Act will not apply to the games that involved mere skill. Now the question is, how do they carve out these games? And the answer is simple. The Section 12 for example, in Public Gambling Act, which is a central act, simply says nothing in the foregoing provisions of the act contained shall be held to apply to any game of mere skill wherever played. So it simply says that if your game is a mere skill game, nothing in this act applies, and therefore you are out of the purview of Gambling Act. It is as simple as that. Now, several state acts do have same or similar provisions, and thus it's clear that if a game qualifies as a game involving mere skill, then that game is exempted from the applicability of the provisions of the Gambling Act. Now, one interesting fact, and as is the case with quite a few pieces of legislation in India, the most important term is not defined under the Act. Now, what is that most important term? The term mere skill does not find any definition under any of the gambling or gaming acts across India. And as such, it remains open for interpretation as to what qualifies as mere skill and what fails foul of this criteria and thus falls within the ambit of the Gambling Act. Interesting, isn't it? The most crucial term by which you are actually excluding somebody from the applicability of the Act is not defined. And therefore, it is so subjective for the authorities to interpret that it may sometimes create hurdles for genuine games also. Now, what do we do about it? So there have been cases against Rummy as a game, fantasy sports as a game, horse racing, and where the courts have kind of laid down the law and have analyzed the issue relating to whether these games are gambling or not. And the courts over a period of last 70 years have developed a jurisprudence whereby the meaning of the term mere skill is interpreted. Now, how is it interpreted? The courts have interpreted the term mere skill with the theory of predominance. What is that predominance? Simply put, the courts have said that any game where there is a predominance of skill over chance will qualify as a game of mere skill. So, in simpler terms, what does it mean? In any case, any game cannot be a skill only game, right? Let's assume cricket. There's still some chances on a bad day, even as most skillful batsmen might get out on zero. Or a most skillful bowler may end up giving the highest runs. So there's no game which does not involve any element of chance. But the courts have said that if the element of skill which is required by the participant to play the game predominates or has preponderance over the chance element in the game, then that game will qualify to be a game of mere skill and therefore will be out of the purview of the Gambling Act. While I understand that most of these judgments, and I'm not naming the judgment, as I said before, I don't want to quote judgments and then quote paragraphs from the judgments and make it sound very, very legal, so to say. I'm not quoting those judgments, but most of these judgments have been rendered by the high courts under either their jurisdiction as a writ court. So the cases have been writ petitions filed against these games or public interest litigations. In these kind of cases, that is writ petitions and public interest litigations, the jurisdiction of the courts is very limited and they typically only decide the question of law on the subject. The fact-finding exercise that typically happens at the lower court level doesn't happen in the writ court or a court sitting over a PIL, which is public interest litigation. And therefore, in most of these cases where this predominance theory which is predominance of skill over chance, has evolved over a period of time, you will see that the courts have actually not gone into the deeper details of what are all the skills that are required to be played, to be exercised in a game, and what are all those chance elements which exist in the game, and then compared both of them and then said or concluded that, see, therefore, this game has skill predominant. But I must admit that there have been some instances of some cases where the courts have actually seen the features of the game and have said that all these features, in their opinion, require a lot of skill from the participant, and therefore, in their view, the game is a game of skill. Now, because of this reason, that the fact-finding hasn't happened at the writ level or a public interest litigation level by the high courts, it's an interesting subject because the games which an operator wants to roll out in the market needs to undergo a thorough review by a third-party independent expert to at least give a ballpark opinion on whether the game actually has preponderance of skill over chance or no. And when I say a careful evaluation of the game, it means that the rules of the game itself, all the factors that a participant needs to bring in to participate and better perform at the game, the features that a game may offer, and all other things which may have influence over the outcome that a participant may end up achieving. And therefore, it's a complex exercise of analyzing and assessing the game from very, very different angles. Sometimes it may also involve, in case of an online game, sometimes it may also involve assessment of a game screen by screen and page by page. And therefore, it's advisable for all the operators out there to get their games assessed. Why it is important now? Because there are intermediary guidelines that are now going to come into place anytime soon, which will also involve assessment of games by the SROs. And it kind of then becomes a licensed game allowed to be launched in the market, and therefore there will be certain objective criteria set by those SROs which will define whether the game actually has the preponderance of skill over chance or no. Now, interestingly, there are a few states in India that have taken a slightly different route. Remember, in the beginning I said that there are three ways or three categories in which these laws can be distributed. First one was prohibition, where we just spoke about how the prohibition works and how the mere skill works and how the carve-outs are there. The second category there is where the states have gone a regulation route and have stated that we will not fully prohibit the games, but we will regulate them. Now, how the regulation actually happens, then there are certain states like, say, Meghalaya and Sikkim, which have the licensing regime for games. They have defined different criteria for games. They have also listed down the games of chance, and then they have defined the ways in which they want to regulate the games, and therefore every game that wants to operate out of the territorial jurisdiction of these states, that is Meghalaya and Sikkim, will have to undergo a licensing exercise, pay specified license fees, and then operate within the state. So they've gone the licensing route. Similarly, Goa has allowed physical casinos within the state to operate, and therefore they have a limited licensing or limited regulatory regime available within the state. All other games of chance are prohibited, but the physical casinos are allowed within the state of Goa. Then there is a state like Tamil Nadu, which has recently come up with a gaming law, specially focusing on the online gaming space. And then within that act, they have created a schedule which lists down the games which are prohibited specifically within the state, Rummy and Poker being one of two of those games which are prohibited within the state. Other than that, they have also created categories like local games and non-local games. Local games being the ones which are operating from within the state and have their office and other infrastructure within the state, and the games which are not within the state but are operating from outside the state but offer the games via the online media within the state. And there are there's different treatment given to these two kinds of games within the state of Tamil Nadu. So this then becomes the second category, which is regulation, where the states are actually looking to allow the games earn certain revenue for the state in the form of license fees and other gaming fees, and allow these games with certain restrictions or regulatory provisions or the governance provisions being put in place. Tamil Nadu also has established a gaming authority, which is called Tamil Nadu Gaming Authority, which will look into all these games from the point of view of regulation, governance, prohibition, licensing, and everything else that is attached to the online gaming industry within the state of Tamil Nadu. The third category, first one prohibition, second one regulation. The third category is a rather interesting category, because I call it an ambiguous category, or let's just say ambiguity as a category. Why I'm calling ambiguity as a third category? Because there are a couple of states which have had old laws, nothing new in those laws, have adopted the Gambling Act within their states, but have modified the Public Gambling Act in certain ways. And how it has modified it? Let's take an example of the states like Assam and Orissa. Now, while they have all the provisions which are similar in nature to the Public Gambling Act, one important aspect that these two laws are missing is the exception or the carve out created for mere skill games within the state. What is the impact? The impact is, it's not clear whether a game which is held to be a mere skill game or a legal game in that sense can be operated within the state or no. Of course, the intent of these two statutes is to prohibit gambling, and therefore, by extension, anything which does not qualify to be gambling should be allowed. But these acts don't create any separate carve out or exception for mere skill games, and therefore they are a little ambiguous to interpret. It's not clear whether the state intends to bar all online games where the stakes are involved. You remember first episode we spoke about money in, money out aspect of the games, whether they want to restrict all those games which involve money in, money out, and the stakes being created and prize pools being distributed, or they just want to restrict the gambling exercise within the state, is something which is not clear. And therefore, I like to put these two states, that is Assam and Orissa, in the category of ambiguity. Then there are two more states which don't fall in any of these categories, that is prohibition. While technically they fall in the category of prohibition, but then are slightly different or have slight overreach in that sense. So they don't fall within prohibition, they don't fall within regulation, they don't fall in the ambiguous category also. And these two states are Telangana and Andhra Pradesh, because they've come up with their own set of gaming laws which prohibit or categorically prohibit, unlike Assam and Orissa, they categorically prohibit any game or anything and everything which involves putting in of stakes and taking the winnings out. And therefore, all online games which are in the nature of RMG, real money gaming, are prohibited within the states of Telangana and Andhra Pradesh. So now that we've looked at the three different ways in which states have tried to prohibit and or regulate the gambling or gaming within their respective territorial jurisdictions. Let us also get to know the three different angles from which a prohibitory law deals with the subject. Now, one might think that he just explained three categories. What are these three angles now? So these three angles are within the prohibitory law, as I said. What are these three angles? The prohibition typically works from three different angles. And what are these three different angles? First, operator or gaming house. The first prohibition that the acts apply is on the operators or the gaming houses. What it essentially says that anybody who is offering the games or the gambling house services within the state is prohibited from doing so. What are the consequences of breach? The penalties and punishments in the form of jail terms. So that's the first angle to look at from the point of view of an operator or a gaming house. The second angle is that of a participant. So I'm not an operator. I'm not a company offering the game. I'm not a gaming house, but I am a participant in the game and I play the game. So these prohibitory acts also apply on the participants. So if you participate in any gaming and gambling activity within the territorial jurisdictions of the act, territorial jurisdictions of the state, then you will have to face the consequences, which are in the nature of, again, penalties and jail term. So that's the second category. The third angle, or not second category, second angle, the third angle that I want to talk about is marketing and promotion exercises. So what does these acts do? They say anyone who promotes or publicizes gambling activities within the territorial jurisdiction of the state will have a different set of penalties and punishments. So the platforms like media houses, TV, radio, newspapers, magazines, outdoor advertisers, etc. will have to keep these provisions in mind, that even advertising of gambling activities within the state is prohibited. And therefore, they need to be very, very careful.
So it is important to see that you are duly in compliance with the laws that may apply to the territory within which you want to operate your gaming business or marketing and advertising business, or just want to participate in some of the games offered within your state. So friends, we will end our second episode of Lex Prudence online gaming series at this stage, and we'll catch up again next week with the next episode, where we'll discuss various legal issues around the industry other than the legality, like IP, financial laws, consumer laws, so on and so forth. If you have any questions, please do let me know through your comments. You can also write to me at lexprudence2020@gmail.com, and I will definitely try and answer your queries as much as possible. So catch up with you next Friday. Till then, take care. Namaskar.